If you would, though, now join me in your Bibles in the 39th Psalm. I encourage you to have your Bibles out as we look to God's Word together, as well as a notepad that you can take some notes about what God wants to speak to us about this evening from His Word. We'll be in Psalm 39 as we look to the Word of God this evening. Psalm 39. As you are opening your Bibles to Psalm 39, I want you to look with me at the title. It says, "To the chief musician, even to Jeduthun, the Psalm of David." We know that this is, of course, the Psalm of David, given to one of the three worship leaders that he placed in the tabernacle to lead the corporate worship of God's people. As you look at the contents of this psalm, it does not appear to be much of a worship psalm. It's not the type of song that you would expect to hear or sing at a worship service to the Lord. It follows very closely Psalm 38, not just in its placement in the Word of God, but in its thought patterns. Psalm 38 is the third of seven penitential psalms, and Psalm 39 is not specifically given the name of a penitential psalm. It does have some thoughts that are consistent with Psalm 38. We do not know if it was written on the same occasion in David's life, but it has some similar thinking. Psalm 38, as a penitential psalm, if you'll remember, dealt primarily with the suffering that comes as a result of sin in an individual's life. And David spent much of Psalm 38 dealing with that individual suffering that was present in his life because of his sin. In Psalm 39, though, David's thoughts take a little bit of a different direction as he focuses here, as we'll see, on the brevity of life, followed by the vanity of life. And he calls for us to come to the recognition that our lives are without value apart from our recognition of the one who gave us life, Creator God. And so I'd ask you to dive in with me to Psalm 39. Let's read the psalm, and then we'll look to the thoughts from God's Word. The Bible says, "I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence, I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot in me while I was musing, the fire burned, thus spake I with my tongue. Lord, make me know my end, and measure my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity, Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity, Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears. For I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more." Again, as you read Psalm 39, you are confronted with the realities of the brevity and vanity of life apart from the Creator. Recently, my family and I sat down to watch Disney's The Lion King. You've probably seen the cartoon film, at least. More recently, there is a live-type adaptation of that story. I don't know how many of you remember a particular scene when Simba, the lion, the heir to the throne of Prime Rock, is driven from that land into a land where he meets Timon and Pumbaa, who introduce him to a philosophy of life called Hakuna Matata. Hakuna Matata is a philosophy of life. It's a carefree, no worry, no problem kind of life. When you're confronted with a problem, to just turn away from it and not worry about it, not give it a second thought, and just go on with life. In the live adaptation, in that scene, it's brought about in a humorous type way, but Timon explains that philosophy of life a little further by describing life as a straight line, with problems, with good times, with people who have everything and people who have nothing, and of course in that storyline, animals who eat and animals who get eaten. But he describes life as just a straight line, really with no meaning and no value, no purpose. While given a humorous bent in that story, it presents what is true. And a viewpoint in lifestyle, a life philosophy that is lived out by many, as the penman David takes us through this progression, showing us the reality of the brevity and the vanity of life apart from the Creator, but leading us to a place of finding our value in God alone. Would you notice, first of all, the first three verses, this first heart stage is what we'll call the burning heart. We don't know the exact background of Psalm 39. Whatever the case, two things are very clear to us as we read through Psalm 39. David is confronted with his sin, and he's also confronted with the reality of the wicked, those who do not know God or do not recognize the truth of God in their lives. He brings specifically the wicked to the forefront in these first few verses, and he says, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Notice, I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. And he said, as my heart was hot within me, while I was musing the fire, while I was thinking about these things, David apparently was in a place in his life where his own sin had confronted him, where the wicked had confronted him in some way, where his life, the frailty of it, the fragility of it, came into his mind and his heart clearly. And as he's thinking upon these things, he's meditating upon them, he's musing about them. And he speaks here as if his words were in his mouth and he wanted to say something. He wanted to reveal God's truth. He wanted to confront the wicked who had confronted him. But in this particular instance, David found wisdom in remaining quiet, in keeping his thoughts to himself. I don't know about you, but I find myself in a place at times where that's a struggle. Are you like me, where the struggle that we often face, David was concerned that he did not want to stand out foolishly by opening his mouth. There is time in Ecclesiastes to be quiet, a time to speak. We need to use wisdom and have sense of God to know when to speak, when to keep quiet. But we move on, secondly, to the second heart stage. We see the burning heart, but I want you to see not only the burning heart, But I want you to see here the burdened heart. David, as he reflected there before his fire, speaks now to the Lord. And as he speaks to the Lord, we recognize that there are three truths about life that he makes quite clear. In verse number 4, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. You might jot down, first of all, that David speaks here in verse number 4 about how man's days are swift. He's not here speaking about the totality of man's days, the length of his life. He's dealing here with just each individual day and how quickly each passing day passes. The moment is here and then it's gone. In verse number 5, he says, behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine ages as nothing before thee. You might also jot down that David recognizes that man's days are short. Not only is each passing day swift, but the totality, the length of man's days is short. In comparison to history, but even more in comparison to the eternity of God, the eternal days of God, God who does not have a beginning and will not have an end, God who always was and is and always will be, in comparison with him, man's days are short, are few. But then I want you to notice a third reality that David comes to. Not only man's days are swift and man's days are short, but as David looked about him, he came to this conclusion: man's days are senseless. Look at the end of verse 5. He says, verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. The word vanity here, as it often does in the Word of God, speaks of emptiness, worthlessness. It has the idea of a breath, a quick passing wind. David, as he thought about life, as he thought upon his own sin, they're swift, they're short, and they're senseless. He says this in verse number 6. Notice that surely every man walketh in a vain show. That phrase, vain show, has the idea here of an empty shadow. He says man in his life is simply chasing shadows, chasing nothingness, chasing things that are not real, that do not contain in and of themselves real or intrinsic worth or value. He says, surely there is quiet, and knoweth not who shall gather them. There's a close resemblance here to the words of Jesus in a parable that he shared in Luke chapter number 12. In Luke 12, verses 15 through 21, Jesus said, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will put down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Friends, the reality of our lives is that they are swift. Each passing day is quick. It's here and it's gone. they're short. The totality, the length of our days is brief, it's short. And apart from the recognition of our Creator and our response to Him, our days are senseless. David wrote these words later on in the Psalms, in Psalm 90, verses 9 and 10. He wrote this, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told, a story that is told. 4 years and 10 years, and by reason of strength, 84 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away." Friends, the reality of our lives is that the days pass quickly. The totality, the length of our days is brief. Even if you live to be 70 or even 80 years old, in recognition of eternity, those days are short. And apart from the recognition of our Creator and the response to our Creator, living our lives in light of His truth and the reality of His existence, our days are senseless. There's no meaning. There's no value. There's no worth to our days apart from the realization of our Creator and living with His eternal values. The reality is that many of our world are chasing shadows. They are chasing things with no intrinsic or real value. They're chasing the shadows of wealth. They're chasing the shadows of fame. They're chasing the shadows of authority. They're chasing the shadows of power. They're chasing the shadows of promotion. They're chasing shadows, things that do not have any real value. Like the rich man in the parable that Jesus told, they're bringing in their goods. They're building their barns greater to lay up so that they can rest and take their ease and be merry. And as God said to that rich man, "Go ahead and do that, but this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Then whose shall those things be that you've laid aside? Who shall those things be? As David said in Psalm 39, verse 6, "And knoweth not who shall gather them." Even believers can be guilty of chasing shadows. These two things are true of all. Our lives are swift and they are short. Believer and unbeliever alike, those things are true. Setting your heart on God, not setting your heart upon God, those things are true. Our lives are swift and they are short. But what makes the difference between the life that is senseless and the life that is not? It's as the missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." What makes the difference between a life that is senseless and a life that is not is the recognition and response to the Creator, finding value in life by responding to the one who gave you life and living for Him, living for eternity. And that's what David goes to in verse number 7, where we move from the stage of the burning heart and the burdened heart to the stage of the believing heart. When David says, "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee." If I mentioned the name, the title, Grandma Moses, some of you would probably know who I am speaking about. I don't have her actual name in front of me this evening, but she is a woman who was born before the Civil War began in upstate New York, where she lived the majority of her life. She lived to be 101. But it was in her late 70s that Grandma Moses took up painting. She saw little value in her paintings and would commonly sell them for little to nothing at all. In 2004, an individual brought one of her paintings to the Antiques Roadshow. Some of you may be familiar with that, where people bring things that they have that they think may be worth something to be appraised and have a value placed upon them by different professionals in antiques and so on. This gentleman who brought this painting of Grandma Moses to the Antique Roadshow in 2004 noted that Grandma Moses was a neighbor. His family and his mother frequently would buy paintings off of Grandma Moses for as little as $10. He said that the family had 8 or 10 of Grandma Moses' paintings that she sold to their family at little charge because she saw no value in her paintings. Well, this one painting that the man brought to the Antique Roadshow in 2004 was valued at $60,000. What even she herself saw as little to no value, others found premium value in. What do you live for? Where do you find value? How often do we, even as believers, give our lives to that which has little or no value? We chase shadows and thus bring just senselessness to our lives. But notice David now in verse number 7 expresses the believing heart. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. What wait I for? Where do I find hope? Where do I find expectation? Where do I find worth? Where do I find value? If life is as swift, as short, and as senseless as David indicated in verses 4 through 6, what do I wait for? Where is my hope? Where is my expectation? It is found in the Lord. The answer is found in Jesus Christ. Friends, our lives that are swift and that are short do not need to be spent in senseless pursuits, chasing shadows. We can live a life full of meaning and value. The answer for that life is found in Jesus Christ. Jim Elliot truly had it right when he said, "He is no fool to give what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot lose." And then I want you to notice finally this evening, not only the burning heart, the burdened heart, the believing heart, but I want you to notice fourthly the broken heart. Remember, David is following up closely the truths of Psalm 38, and now here in this portion of Psalm 39, he is confronted with the recognition of his own sin. We don't know the sin that David was thinking about in his life or that he was concerned with, which sin it was that confronted him, but I think we all recognize and realize that we are guilty of sin that sometimes confronts us, that sometimes comes back into our memory and causes pain and breaks our heart and brings regret. David here is confronted with his own sin. He says in verse 8, "Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb, I opened not my mouth, because thou didst it." He is reminded of his sin and the chastisement that God brings because of sin. But notice in this portion of the passage, three requests of David's prayer. First of all, David requests forgiveness. What a reminder again that when we sin, we need only to come to God and ask for his forgiveness to be cleansed of our sin and to be cleansed of all of the unrighteousness that is present in our lives. David comes and he asks God for forgiveness, but I want to move on quickly, and I want to share with you David's second request in this prayer, and it was for healing. For healing. Friends, can I remind you this evening that God is the healer of our lives? Stephanie and I were praying before our service this morning, just together as a couple, and as Stephanie was praying, she praised the Lord for being our healer and asked God to remind us that He is the healer both of our physical bodies but also of our spiritual lives. That He is our healer in every aspect. He is our healer in every context. That God is the one who brings healing. David, here as he prays the Lord, he prays for healing. He says in verse 10, "Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity." God, in your chastisement, in your wrath, in your rebuke, there is pain. There is grief. There is sorrow. God is the healer of our hearts. He's the healer of our lives. And so David requested healing. And then notice his third request in his prayer, not only forgiveness and healing for in this life. Verse 12, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee. And a sojourner is all my fathers were. O spare me that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more." David looked with recognition at his present life and what he knew would come in the future. His life was swift and short as ours is. He knew there was coming a day when his life here in this world would be no more and he would step into eternity. He recognized that his life here was like a pilgrim traveling through a strange land. And how that is true of us if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are strangers traveling as pilgrims through a strange land. And in this life, we need God's direction. We need His guidance. We need His help. God will give it if we will ask Him. When we come to the Lord and ask for forgiveness, He gives forgiveness. When we come to the Lord and ask for healing, He will bring healing to our lives. And when we come and ask Him for direction, ask Him for guidance, God will give that direction and guidance that we so desperately need. So that though our lives are swift and short, they need not be senseless. Friends, tonight, what are you living for? Are you chasing shadows, things that have no real or intrinsic worth and value? Or are you living your life in recognition and response to the one who gave you life? Living for eternity, living with God's values, so that the things that you are living for, the things that you're pursuing, are not shadows. Things that are of real value and worth. Our lives need not be senseless. May we live with that philosophy and truth that He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Let us live in light of the reality of our Creator God, living our lives in His presence for His glory. That our lives be not senseless. Would you bow with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? And for just a moment, perhaps God is speaking to your heart. And as God is speaking to your heart about living life in recognition of His truth, of His reality, of who He is, maybe God is speaking to your heart right now. He's doing the work in you. He's drawing you to Himself. Maybe you've been chasing shadows. Maybe tonight your need is salvation in Jesus Christ. You've been living your life for yourself. You've been living your life chasing all that this world has to offer. And you have come to the place in your life where you realize it's senseless. It means nothing. That you'll come to the end of your life and have nothing to show for it because you can't take anything with you. Friends, Jesus Christ died on the cross to bring you forgiveness of sin, to take away your condemnation and give you a hope of eternal life in heaven. Would you trust Him as your Savior if you know not Christ? Believer, maybe you've been chasing shadows. You've been reminded tonight of the brevity of life, the vanity of life lived apart from the Lord. If so, would you come to Him? Would you pray as David did for forgiveness, for healing, for direction and guidance in this life, that you live not senselessly, but that you live a life of value and meaning before your Creator? Friends, if God is working in your heart, would you pray with me in response to the Lord? Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your truth, for how it speaks to our hearts and lives. And we ask you now that you would help us to respond. Lord, if there is someone listening to this message who knows not Christ, may you right now their salvation, understanding that apart from Jesus, life is senseless. Lord, if there is a believer who is listening tonight, whose heart you have dealt with because they've been chasing shadows, I pray that you would remind them again that true worth, true meaning, true value is found only in living in light in response to you as our Creator. Help us to have a heart that is right before you tonight.